This is the January 10 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Danny Poff. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Jerry Goodell joins us from Midland Research in Chicago. And we'll also hear from Roche Ag Marketing's Logan Kimmel. He's in Naperville, Illinois. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen to us at willag.org. Danny Poff is now here. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing, joins us each and every Friday morning on the opening market report from Illinois Public Media. You can listen to that at willag.org. Danny, thank you for taking some time to review the USDA reports released this morning at 11 a.m. Central. Can you go through some of the state changes for me, please?
Yeah, and first, Todd, thanks for having me. Nationally, the big picture, the U.S. corn yield really on the lower end of the trade range for sure at a 179.3 on corn. And soybeans, same kind of story, nationally, but it's particularly here in our backyard, Todd. Illinois corn now at 217. That's down a point or two or bushel or two. And soybeans now at 64. Previously was 67. I can't help but think some of these dry moisture content on both corn and beans might have had an effect here, Todd, as we rounded out the year.
Yeah, so as we were talking to USDA and farmers beforehand, this number comes from a survey of farmers that USDA puts into that last crop production report, which was released in November. So big changes coming probably from the farmers and what they say they were able to harvest this year. What does it mean going forward for you as it's related to both corn and soybeans? Because it does change the picture quite a bit.
You know, I'm a little bit hesitant to use the word outright bullish. I mean, today's a friendly report, make no mistake, but I would view the landscape as maybe less bearish. Okay, I'll use that term. When you have a carryout on corn now of 1.54 billion, it's just not as burdensome when it's above two and things like that. So we can't forget that 1.54 carryout of this year will be the to next year. And of course, there's a lot, that story's not written on new crop yet, but we're expecting big corn acres moving forward, Todd. And as I look at the quotes, March corn, as we talk, up 13 cents, December corn next year, up 2 cents. You know, what's all the excitement about? New crop, just not too excited with the anticipation of big acres on corn.
Yeah, so really we have to look out to that acreage report. That's what partially what the trade will be wondering about, but that won't come until the end of March. Between now and then, we have a crop insurance setting month, which I think this report probably should be good for. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, and then we can discuss the South American crop as well. But start with that crop insurance setting month and how you work that in your mind. I know Strategic Farm Marketing does a lot with crop insurance.
Yeah, you know, last year that Feb average was 466, and right now live quotes were 449. So we kind of view it as corn could be pretty steady. Some of these APHs individually or countywide have gone up. So from a revenue guarantee, if we can be steady to grind a little higher here, we could be looking at a similar revenue guarantee on 2025. Soybeans, however, we're up here today, and that's great. November 25 live quotes is 1025. Last year that was 1155. So when it comes down to crop insurance, your revenue guarantee just isn't quite as impressive on the soybeans if we stay pretty steady here at present, Todd.
Yeah, so how do you put all of this into context for producers as they're thinking about marketing what they have left of old crop and what they might want to do with new crop?
Yeah, first on old crop here, I came into this report and to be honest, was selling ahead of this report just for the fact that we got to 460 on March futures. Todd, we haven't been at that level since June 25th on the March contract. Right now, we're 469, so we're within a dime of that level. But that's a noteworthy accomplishment to get corn to crawl all the way back. Another reference that kind of made my decision to be an active seller here on corn is our October average on insurance was 416. So I just thinking pretty logically about this, why do you put corn in a bin, perhaps? Well, you'd like to keep it off the market and achieve a higher price later on. We've done that. Basis is better than fall, of course, and the futures are up, you know, in that 40 to 50 cent range. So I've been rewarding that rally. Cash flow is needed, specifically on corn. Moving forward, beans, I think, you know, we get a lot of catch-up marketing in that August, September timeframe. We got about a dollar rally back then. And so overall, old crop, looking at 70 to 80% sold on both corn and beans, and particularly soybeans, kind of dealing with gambling bushels at this point, Tom.
When you look at the charts, one of two things has happened today. And because we're above the 20, the 50, the 100, and the 200 day, it may not be a spike high, but it could be, or it is just a sharp move to the higher side because you feel like this is less bearish, I suppose. Does that mean we stay in a range that's higher for nearby March corn for the next couple of months?
Yeah, you could say that. I think that's a fair assumption. Maybe, you know, that 450 to higher end 470 range, perhaps. Today's all about fundamentals, but when you look at the charts and kind of, okay, what's that do to the chart? We are really overbought right now, too, on corn. So a little bit due for a correction. Same on beans, and we've seen it today intraday. The March soybean contract was up 34 cents. Last check, while we're talking, we're only up 19 cents. So it may be a little bit buy the rumor, sell the fact intraday here. The other big news here today is there's some rumors about used cooking oil imports may not be incorporated in this new GREET model, but that's probably a whole nother podcast. But today is a lot of information at once.
Yeah, there's a whole lot happening within the marketplace. Farmers will have to assess it. Do they need to make decisions today, or can they wait?
On corn, I've been an active seller. If I was an active seller at 460, Todd, I'm an active seller right now at 468. And I kind of use the term, you know, take some chips off the table. You're a farmer, so you're always long. How long do you want to be? You know, and we're... what does that mean for you individually? I had some folks with some really good corn yields, and now we're in this, you know, cash market 460 to 470 trade range here. That's getting where this isn't as bad as we feared a couple months ago. And I should point out some of these river bids, you know, on the deferred, if you need to space out bushel just for logistics anyway, we're approaching $5 corn in St. Louis right now. When's the last time you heard that, Todd?
Well, it has been a while, that is for sure. Were there any changes in the consumption side that were notable for you in the S&D table for corn today?
You know, the big thing is more production getting trimmed, as far as I can tell. But we've seen good export demand. That's a well-traveled story. The question is that been front-loaded, you know, with anticipation of new policy with the new administration? Ethanol's been solid too, but today the bigger story to me is reduction in yield.
Production down 276 million bushels. Feed residual was off 50 million. Ethanol on the consumption side did not change. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, Danny.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Danny Poff, of course, is with Strategic Farm Marketing. We're now joined by Jerry Goodell. He's at Midland Research. Hi, Jerry. It's been a long time. I appreciate you taking some time with us. Congratulations, by the way, because I know your numbers coming into this were on the low end of the trading range. Let's start with corn. As we were finishing up with Danny, we talked a little bit about some of the consumption numbers. Feed and residual was off 50 million bushels. The ethanol numbers, as we noted, hadn't changed at 5.5 billion bushels. However, the exports in corn were down 25 million bushels from 2475 to 2.45 billion bushels. I'm not sure that people will be in line with that. It'll be interesting that they see a change, total change in consumption. Our usage was down 75 million bushels. What did you make of all of the S&D table numbers for corn?
Today's numbers on demand, it's the the old USDA concerns that if you drop the production, the demand isn't going to be there. Now we got this whole, where is the tariffs going to be in the new administration, things of that nature. But I think considering where we're at on our overall sales scenarios at this point, they made some huge changes, $200 million last month. Now they're shaving it back. I don't think that in general here, the drop down to 1.4 billion carryover stock, I think there still could be another 100 million adjustment there in demand situations. Now, I understand that people are going to worry about the tariffs, but the biggest problem in that is that the Chinese are not going to be a big purchaser, and that we've already got the Mexicans buying stuff. You know, looking at these things going back and forth, I kind of feel like that the demand trends we've got are going to stay there. So, but let's don't get too crazy here. A 1.49 number here on carryover stock is not a bullish number. It is going the right direction. We've got a real positive relationship here. We're still going to be looking at South America, both on beans and corns going forward. But that's the thing that we got to keep in mind here in the markets at this point. But at least we're getting back to sane numbers.
Let me clarify something with you, because it's a 1.54 billion bushel carryout for corn at this point. You think it can go to 1.49?
Because I think that they just took away the feed demand number at this point. We're strong on that. I don't think the livestock's dying. On the export side, they take 25 out of there. So, you know, those are the numbers that we can potentially go down. It's not going to be instantaneous that the Fed, their numbers are going to do this. Where are we going to be in March and April? The key to this thing is we've got a big crop. We've got a big carryover crop. At this point, we're going to have emotions, and we take advantage of those emotions at this point on rallies. But at the same time, we're going the right way on a long-term basis. We're not carrying over huge amounts that we started at over $2 billion here 3 months ago.
Where do you stand on the soybean supply and demand table USDA released?
Well, on the soybean side, they did also actually were as aggressive over there on their soybean yields, taking down a full bushel on that. I think the one thing of note, and the reason why I was tending to be on the low side of these number estimates, was all the reports we were getting from all the elevators and all the individual reports we were getting through the internet, everybody's moisture was way too low. We're talking about beans at 10, 9%. Same thing on corn. Instead of 15.5, we were at 12, 10. That we sell weight. We don't sell bushel baskets. And so in that reality, that's prompted me to be the lower side of these yields. Now, was I as low as it should have been? No. But at the same time, I think that's the thing that finally realized that the people at the elevators didn't report the same number of bushels that they thought that the USDA thought they should. Anyway, let's go on to the specifics here of the soybean crop, since we did end up having that one bushel decline. That took a 95 million reduction in output. They found another 5 million going into imports, big deal. And that took us down to a 90 million reduction from 470 down to 380. Going the right direction, but I still feel the same thing on the bean crushings and exports, that we're substantially up there. And I understand the tariff world at this point. It doesn't really impact much on Mexico, on beans, but definitely everybody's worried about China and not buying anything. Well, they've already haven't bought very much to begin with. They've got a lot of it shipped. And at this point, the key thing in beans is what does South America turn out to be? And today's numbers, the USDA, as always, is cautious about the size of the crops down there until we get further into to their harvest and get some actual numbers. They left both Argentina and Brazil lower, unchanged, I should say. I kind of feel like that, yes, the Brazilian number could go up a little bit, but we don't want to forget the southern part of Brazil and lots of Argentina have been on the dry side on both corn and beans at this point. So I kind of agree with the USDA by not changing them this month. So at this point, particularly in Argentina, their output scenarios could be under the gun. With Mato Grosso being good, Rio Grande and Paraná could be lower, so we might not be in the same world. But South America is the focus on beans going from this report.
What do you think the price of soybeans will do, futures price that is, between now and the acreage report at the end of March?
Well, everybody's looking at the reality that we're going to plant more corn because these corn prices have been better than expected. And they're probably not going to go down much. How much more will they go up? That's another question. On soybeans, trying to look at a March level here on things. I think there's a, depending on the weather in South America and that, which I think is on the dry side, so I'm kind of optimistic there. I kind of feel like that there's a chance that these bean prices could edge towards $11. I do not really sense we got $11.50 to $12 number. I think those are, we've got to have a huge problem in Argentina or somewhere in South America. At the same time on the beans, we do need to get this confirmation that we're moving away from 380 down towards 300. I'm not anticipating this thing going crazy and we're going to all of a sudden South America is going to be a drought down there and a desert. No. But at the same time, I think that this market has really absorbed a huge amount of negativism. And so where's the funds at this point? They're the vulnerable ones to the upside. How much will they go? That's a big question we always have. But at this point, this definitely isn't the day to sell the first rally.
So today, soybeans, when you and I are talking, went to a high of 10.18.5. They traded back, at least when we're talking, to around 10.06. Does it concern you that the market's not able to maintain the largest gains it had of the day?
At this point, we've got the first rally of short covering out of here at this point. And, you know, right now there's everybody in the short side that wanted to get out. I understand that, and it's settled back. But the issues that we have in front of us here in South America is uncertainty. Now, I know that this week we had differences in the fact that we're going to rain in 5 to 7 days, and that was bullish for a while, and then all of a sudden it was bearish. You know, it's kind of interesting how I guess one day further closer it means it's going to be on my back. But it's a scenario on this thing where the soybean side of things, right now, unfortunately, soybeans really doesn't determine where your yields are going to be at this point. I understand that on the cycle of growth. But at the same time, the carryover stock and also the other things, I feel like we've hit the gut punch to the downside, and we're going to start to find more and more reasons why this thing could firm a little bit going into the spring from that standpoint. But I'm not saying we're going to $12 either here.
Anything else on the corn as it's related to where that might be headed before I let you go?
Well, in the corn side, we've edged through this 450 area, and we've actually edged through a downtrend line on the March corn. You got to be impressed with that. The infamous question, can we see $5? I think that's really a optimistic scenario and the first reaction. Actually, in some ways here, we have some good strong prices through Sunday night out here, some good advances into the 475, 480 zone. I think that's short-term wise, it's probably a place on corn to be a seller, on the beans on the marches there. I'm probably saying 10.40, 10.50, no, not 10.50, 10.30 to 40 zone is probably short-term. Take some money. This thing's going to be a grind here. We're not going to go straight up. You know, it's going to be a process. And at this point, taking advantage of these advances of what's happened here, shoot, you just think back here, this is only 4 weeks away. When, you know, this next week would be 4 weeks from the 5 weeks. We were at 975 or nine. Excuse me, on the March, we were at 950. So that's a pretty good bounce.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care. Let's all see what the South America does going forward.
Jerry Goodell is with Midland Research. I spoke with him earlier today. I also talked to Logan Kimmel at Roach Ag Marketing. With Logan, I began by discussing with him the changes, particularly in the ending stocks. Those were dramatically lower, at least for this report, for both corn and soybeans.
Oh, quite a bit. And what a good surprise here, that being the big change in the numbers on the corn yield, well below the range of estimates. And that's certainly got the narrative here on the corn market for higher prices. So I think when the numbers hit the market, the algorithms saw that. They saw the carryout down at the lower end of the trade estimates and instantly caught a bid. And we're seeing that carry through here. But yeah, quite the surprise led by the yield cuts from the USDA.
So a couple of interesting things, because USDA sharply cut the corn yield down again, 3.8 bushels to the acre, ending stocks at 1.54. We had been talking ahead of this about a 1.6 something, but mostly on the high end of the 1.6 line. Coming into it, we were at 1.738 billion bushels. USDA raised the season's average cash price by just 15 cents, $4.10 to $4.25. And that tells me that they still are hesitant to say that there is a lot of upside in this marketplace from USDA's perspective, at least over the whole of the marketing year. And we're only halfway through the marketing year. What is your perspective on where price ought to go today?
Yeah, I think when you analyze the cuts here we've seen, really a huge cut last month, which was surprising, and leaving that cash price the same had me scratching my head. So slight increase there today, but another big cut on this carryout. So we've seen the aggressive cuts here, two reports in a row. Now, one has to wonder if you've done a lot of work pricing that in, really since the December report. So, yeah, it could be one of those things where this far into the marketing year, you've done a lot of work to the upside. That might be the approach from the USDA standpoint on the cash price. But I think you know, we're at this price here after the surprise in the December report on the cut, but also today coming from the yield. So, boy, this carryout is quite a bit different than what we had thought 6 to 8 months ago. And in terms of price, the right direction. So it's good to see that work down and the prices move higher. And really, I think an opportunity for producers, grain producers here, who have had marketing-wise, have had some tough sledding up until now. I think it's a little bit of a bright spot here. So good opportunities ahead, I believe.
Producers will be willing, I think, to market what they need to market at this point. Should they market more than that at this point?
Well, I think if you look at the corn and even soybeans for that matter on old crop, we're getting some good rallies here. If you've held on and you've kept it in the bin or in town, I do think rallies off good news and bullish reports are still probably ones to reward the market and get your inventory work down on the old crop. Then we will have to start looking at some new crop ideas too. If the market continues to rise, you might be worth looking at some new crop marketing strategies. But yes, I think rallies still off friendly news and market opportunities are meant to be sold here if you're hanging on to inventory up until this point.
Now, soybeans, a big change as well, down 90 million bushels in the ending stocks from 470 to 380. That number's still fairly large. And the numbers for Argentine and Brazilian soybeans did not change from USDA's perspective this month. I don't know that the trade was expecting them to change this early in the season. What are your expectations from that marketplace?
Yeah, the dryness in Argentina, it might still be a little early to see a cut from the USDA standpoint, but certainly a surprise for the U.S. Carry out here to work down. Still a number that you'd like to see a little bit lower to justify higher prices, but go in the right direction. And again, well below the lower end of the range of estimates. So the surprise being there in the old crop beans that have got us pushed up and for the time being on the soybeans above where we spent a lot of December in the beginning of this month. So above some resistance for the time being. So again, in that market as well with the carry out being cut, a bullish surprise in the beans that certainly needed it here in the market that we've been in.
What are you telling producers when they call you now as it relates to old and new crop and making sales?
Yeah, on the soybeans, I still think that we have had a nice bullish surprise. You'd like to see the carry out continue to move that direction and lower to justify a massive trend change. So I still think on old crop soybeans, if you do have them, use opportunities like today to work down that inventory. I think up 20 to 25 cent days are a lot better to sell on than down 25 cent days. So have some orders in. If we continue to see this follow through, be a seller on rallies in the beans. Keep an eye on some new crop as well. I know it's not a great price here sitting right now at 10.25, but if we do get some opportunities, maybe off this report or into the spring and summer, make sure to have orders in and proper risk management on the beans, because overall, I do think the world carryout numbers are probably still a little burdensome, even with the slight cut. So be an active seller on good marketing days like today.
Logan Kimmel is with Roach Ag Marketing. He, along with Danny Poff of Strategic Farm Marketing and Jerry Goodell of Midland Research, joined us for this January 10 edition of Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.